Uncle Bruce just had some hip surgery, and he walked in here smiling ear to ear. I like that. Amen. We're glad you're here. And it's great to have those of you that are joining us online tonight from wherever you are. Maybe you put in the comments where you're at tonight. And we're so glad that you've joined with us tonight. We got an extra special speaker tonight. My wife, Samantha, is going to share the word tonight. And I know the Lord has been working that word in her for a few weeks now. So I'm excited to hear it. But we were out back today in Brad's leadership class. And if you haven't joined with that and you struggle, you want to help lead, but you struggle being a leader, or if you just want to learn a little bit more, that's a great class to attend. Right now, we're reading a book that James Clear wrote on habits, and it's amazing what habits that we have that we don't even realize that we have, right? And it's eye-opening how to change those habits and how to move forward, and it's been enlightening for me. And join us if you'd like to. I want to read a portion of Scripture to you, and as I was asking the Lord what to share tonight, the Lord set this on my heart, and this is what I want to talk to you about as we take tonight's tithes and offerings, is how to keep your peace. And I don't know who it's for. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. But the Holy Spirit said to me today that someone, maybe it's someone even at home tonight, you need some peace in your life. And this portion of Scripture immediately struck me as I begin to think about this subject of peace. How many of you enjoy peace in your life? You want an extra dose of peace in your life. And sometimes the Lord, in moments of difficulty, and Aaron began to share tonight about an experience in Scripture where I'm sure they didn't have some peace at one time, but they came out on the other side. They began to worship and praise the Lord because He brought peace to a situation. And I believe this Scripture, you'll see the same contrast. And I want to read to you out of 2 Samuel in verse chapter 12, just a small portion. And it says these words, "The Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him, and he said that there were two men in a certain town. There was a rich man, and there was a poor man. And the rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. He shared his food, it drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him." And in verse 4, it says these words, "Now a traveler came to a rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the little lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." And David, in this portion of Scripture, David the king, burned with anger against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives," and you're familiar with this portion of Scripture, "the man who did this must die. He must pay for the lamb four times over because he did such a thing, and he had no pity." And I want to talk to you just for a second tonight on how to keep peace in difficult moments. And you say, "Ryan, what's that have to do with you, what you just read?" My first thought tonight is not always them, sometimes it's me. And in this portion of Scripture, David has this mindset of, of a finger pointer, of it's not my issue, it's their issue. He's so quick to correct and point the finger to someone else. But how many of you know every time you point the finger at someone else, whether it's in a physical sense or in a spiritual sense, there's five fingers pointing right back at you? And I knew this wouldn't be overly popular at this point. I'm getting to the good ones, so give me just a second tonight. Everything is not someone else's fault or problem. Many times we make decisions and then are angry with the results. Our pride leads us to places that we can't fix. Our attitudes sometimes lead us to places. Our complacency leads us to places at times, and I don't have the time to get into the moment where David heads down this road, but it's so relevant, it's so pertinent that David, in his own conscience, in his own spirit, in his own place, heads down a road of destruction, and it had nothing to do with anyone else. It had everything to do with himself. Sometimes it's not the rich man or the poor man. Sometimes it's me, the man. And I think if we can ask the Holy Spirit, reveal in me, God, what you're trying to work through me, not in other people. I don't need to be their psychiatrist. I don't need to be their God. I don't need to be their fixer. I need you, Lord, to work in me before anybody else. How many of you agree with that tonight? Just wave at me tonight. Okay. My second thought tonight, as we receive tonight's tithes and offerings. If life is falling apart, listen to this. It could be an indicator that you have kept something or taken something that's not yours. When we talk about tithes and offerings, the scripture is very clear that a tenth of everything you take in belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you and you give it back to him. It belongs to him. It is his. He's given it to you, and tithing is a test. He's given it to you to see if you can walk in obedience to give him what's already his. How does a man rob God? In his tithes and in his offerings. Many times the storms of our lives, it is an indicator that we have kept something, that we have taken possession of something, that we have kept something that was never ours to keep. Flip side, I'm a tither. My life is upside down. I'm having a difficulty. Could it be that you've carried animosity for someone that you were never meant to carry? Could it be that you've carried unforgiveness for someone you were never meant to carry? Many times when life is falling apart, and David's life was falling apart, if you don't know this portion of scripture, his life was totally unraveling. You're not the only one. His life was totally coming apart because he had taken something to be his that was never his. It was someone else's wife in this portion of scripture. But you fill in the blank in your life. What God is pricking on your heart. You know what? You need to give this up. You need to give this away. You need to let this thing go because it was never meant to be yours. My third thought tonight. Understand that God is gracious in grace, but the consequences don't always leave us. God loves you if you don't give to him. God loves you if you hate someone. God loves you if you're prideful. God loves you if you're greedy. God loves if you abuse a substance. God loves you if you talk about people. God loves you if you're mean-spirited. God loves you if you're angry. God loves you if you mistreat your wife. God loves you if you mistreat your coworker. But the consequences of your decisions don't always leave you. The grace of God doesn't give you a permit away from consequences. The grace of God is a gift from God. and it is without cost to you. It cost him, but the consequences of our decisions don't always leave us. Can I get more than just Amy's amen in here? I like Amy's amen, but give me another amen in here tonight. In my last thought tonight, and you'll like this one. You can get a hoop off of this one. You can get a holla off of this one. God uses extraordinary. How many of you just, you say, I'm an ordinary person? I'm just an ordinary guy. I don't know about you. I'm just an ordinary, extraordinary, you know, I don't have it all figured out. I don't know everything that's going on. I don't have it all together. I'm trying to figure it out just like you are. I'm just an extraordinary guy. But God uses extraordinary people to accomplish a huge mission. David, he's anointed. He's gifted. He's powerful. The hand of God is on his life in such a profound way, in such a miraculous way. And he steps outside of the will of God. And in this very same portion of Scripture, he begins to repent to the Lord. He said, you know what? I stepped out. I know that I did wrong. I know I shouldn't have taken what wasn't mine. He weeps before the Lord. And all of a sudden, Nathan ministers God's grace and his mercy and his kindness and his love to him. God just sheds out. He says, here's a little extra grace. Here's a little extra mercy. Here's a little extra kindness. Here's a little extra of my power and my promise in your life. God, even if we step outside of his will, he loves us so much that he calls us to himself. And I believe with all my heart tonight that someone is making life decisions. You say, you know, I tried to put on the facade that I had it all together. I tried to make it look like it all just came unraveled. It all just came up. The thing that I tried to hide, three other things cropped up that revealed the thing that actually is going on. And God's by his mercy, he's just dumping out his mercy on you. God is a merciful God. God is a kind God. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He would that you would change course and walk with him. Just get in step with him. Get in motion with him. Get in his purpose and in his plan. Get in a covenant relationship with him, because you know better. You got to do better. I said, because you know better, you got to do better. Ryan, because you know better, you got to do better. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. When you give to God, oh, I don't want to give. I don't want to do it. No, I get to give. God, everything I have. Steve said to me before service, he said, man, I've come to the point that everything I have, God has given to me, and he's entrusted me to take care of and to bless and to honor his kingdom with. And I thought to myself, that's the kind of cronies I want right there. Kind of men I want that walk in step with what God has for their life. How many of you say tonight, because I know better, I'm going to do better? Lift your hand to the Lord, even if you're at home tonight. Father, as people give tonight, Father, even if they give a nickel, even if they give a dime, even if they give a dollar, Father, and that they're in covenant with you, they're in step with you, they're in motion with you, Father, I pray that you'd honor that in such a miraculous way. Father, I even pray the word tonight that storms would cease, storms would come to peace, storms would be settled in lives, in situations, in problems tonight by the gifting and the power of your Holy Spirit that we all sense right now. Father, bring healing, minister wholeness, bring peace, and we thank you for it tonight. In Jesus' name. We get to give. Would you give to the Lord tonight? You know how to give. You can text. You can go on push pay. I'm a push payer because I can do a recurring gift, and I don't have to remember it because I don't remember that well. You can send it in an envelope, or you can drop it in the box right in the back. Tonight, man, I get so amped up. I get so cranked up when I see people that I love do God's work. I mean that. I love you guys. I just, when I see God's people do his work and are joyful and do it with a smile and just love the work of the Lord, it just gets me all cranked up. But there's another layer to it. When my lady does it, when my lover does it, when my best friend does it, I just go to a whole new level. How many of you say amen to that tonight? Would you do me a favor and would you welcome my favorite person, Miss Samantha McDonald, up here to share the word tonight?
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. So, I had to take a deep breath. So this isn't something that I take lightly for sure. I'm very honored to be asked by the pastors here to share what God's been speaking to me. And it's been something he's been speaking to me for the past few months, so it's nothing new to me, so that'll be helpful. So I know this week was the first day of school for many kids, and today was my boy's first day of school, and we have a junior high schooler, and we have a high schooler, a freshman. And I told Ryan on the way home from dropping them off, I said, we're in a new season. This is something so new for us, and I don't know what to do with it. So it's something. And I can't wait to see what God has, for their lives this school year. So the title for my message tonight is, What Are You Doing in the Waiting? What are you doing in the waiting? Are you really doing all that you can be doing? What are you investing in while you wait? So this message is for me first, like I spoke. It's something God's been speaking strongly to me over the past few months. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Use me as your servant, Lord. Let it be your words that flow through me. I come humbly before you, Lord. I thank you for laying your words upon my heart. I thank you for every life that's here and those that are watching with us online. I pray their lives would be touched, Lord, because of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I looked up the word waiting, and it means to look forward expectantly, to stay in place of expectation of. And normally when you hear the word waiting, you don't get all excited about it. But kind of in that sense, you can get excited about what the definition of it means. So I believe God has something unique in store for you and I, but he won't rush it all the time. The fast miracles may feel good, but the slow miracles will feed good. You're being equipped manna that will feed others in limitless ways. You matter too much for God to give you an unfinished blessing. Because the longer it takes, the more God has in store. For blessings will come in God's good time when we refuse to run ahead of him. We need to trust him with the slow miracles too. Think of the song that Kai sung, Man of Your Word. And in the one part, it's not going to come to me now, of course, but it says, we have this confidence, you finish what you started. And as I was singing it, I thought that goes along with what I'm sharing tonight. For blessings will come in God's good time when we refuse to run ahead of him. In Hebrews 10:36 in the New Living, it says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. And in Psalms 119, verse 123, it says, my eyes strain to see your rescue, to see the truth of your promise fulfilled. God always keeps his promises. And what a treasure it is that awaits us. So we're all in a season of waiting. And my season might not look the same as yours or the next person's, and that's totally okay. Even if you don't feel like you're in a season of waiting, guess what? You are. We all are. Because we're all serving and doing God's work as we wait for his great return. In Philippians 3:20, it says, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. So we experience a shift in the load from our shoulders to his when we wait. Because we don't know what day he's making his return here, so we'd have to just keep pressing forward. Sometimes God is not letting us see something right now because it's just not the right time. It's not his time. God has a reason why you're waiting. He has the door closed or he has something covered up for you, but he's still working while you're waiting. He's working out all of the details. I know a prayer of mine is for the Lord to turn my impatience into endurance, to give me eyes to see and faith to believe that my miracle is already in progress. I trust his timing and his master plan. I won't worry while I wait. I can remember how I prayed and prayed for my mom. It was a season of waiting for me. She was just at a point in her life, and I was praying and asking the Lord for to do certain things and in his way and how he could. She's finally come to the other side of my prayers for her, and just to see that and to see that in people in the body, it's just such a beautiful thing, and it's just amazing how he works. And I wish she was joining us here tonight, but it's okay because then I can talk about her. So I'm thankful to see how God works that out in people through prayer, you know, through a lot of prayers. We must accept the challenge to live differently from the society around us. I read this quote. It says, "Christians should be different, not odd. When you are different, you attract people. When you are odd, you repel them." Okay, I'll say it again. It says, "Christians should be different, not odd. When you are different, you attract people. When you are odd, you repel them." By Warren Wiersbe. Hopefully I pronounced that right. When we accept Christ and to live in our heart, we become an instrument in his hands, useful for reaching others for Christ. When you become a believer, your life is going to look different. You're going to shine in ways you never thought possible. His love will radiate through you. So, what are we doing in the waiting? What are we investing our time in while we wait? Point number one, we need to make time for people. People matter. People are important. We need to make time for people because we're not that busy. We need to invest the days that we are given in what truly matters, God and others. Every day is another opportunity to serve him and to make a difference in someone's life. We wait well by actively participating in the world around us, making it a better place as we do what God has called us to do. I know for me, God will at times lay someone on my heart to call, text, write a note to, handwritten, only to hear back from them and they say, "That was exactly what I needed to hear. You know, how did you know that's what I needed?" And I just love how God works that out. I think of our food distribution. That is a new opportunity for our church, newer, I should say, because of the COVID that we had going on. And I look forward to it every time. I think of the verse Joshua 24:15, "But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And it's been something that the four of us have been able to be a part of. And you never know who's going to come through the line. You know, they might not attend church here. They might only come for the food distribution part, and that's fine. But it's still an opportunity to serve God through the love that you show to those people, in inviting them to church, you know, or just having a smile on your face. So that's a new opportunity for me in my life that I've just really come to enjoy. And I think of our Tuesday activity night, which has just kind of gotten back into the swing of things. And I think of how just taking a moment to listen to someone or share something with someone that can maybe change how your entire day has already gone. I stand in the hallway and I'll have people, you know, come past me and they'll want to say something, and maybe I'll be too busy, but I remind myself, just stop, let them say what they have to say. They're looking to you for some reason, and maybe you have the answer or the, you know, reassurance that someone else needs in that moment. So we need to be obedient to the Lord when he speaks to us then. In Romans 14, verses 17 through 19, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up." And as a believer, that's what our mission is here on the earth, to make disciples of all people and to bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. However, it must not remain solely within the four walls of our church building. I read this in a book this week. It says, "Churches need to view themselves not as a collection of individuals, but as one body whose parts work in concert in pursuit of common goals. We're all after the same goal here. After all, we weren't made to do life alone. And how much better it is to be a part of a church family who serves together the same God and truths to further his great kingdom. And we can show a little glimpse of heaven in the ways we care for the people around us. Number two, we can learn from those who have gone before us. So we need to equip ourselves daily with devotionals, Bible reading, prayer, worship, being in church, community, to encourage us on the course of life we're running God has given us, as it says in Hebrews 12:1, a great cloud of witnesses. And these are the people that are described to us in the prior chapter, chapter 11. They're a constant encourage to us. There are people such as Jesus himself, Noah, Joseph, and the list goes on and on. We're not the first to struggle with the problems that we face. Others have run the race and won, which stirs us to achieve the same. So we need to learn from those people. And we need to choose friends, those in our circle, who are also committed to running the same race. God's power is available to us today as it was just to his disciples. Just as he used them to make his name known, he wants to use us to accomplish great and mighty things for his kingdom. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22 through 23, "When I am with those who are weak, I share their weaknesses, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings." I think a lot of my scriptures are from the books that Paul's written, which he wrote more books in the Bible than anyone else. And I think of how much time he put into people through his ministry, teaching and ministering, writing. He did a good deal of his writing while he was in prison. And his road wasn't always easy, as you know if you've read or if you want to take the time to look through the new books of the New Testament, you'll be able to learn about his life story and all the trials that he faced. Through the waiting times, we're all going to experience hard times, struggles, things we don't understand. But in the end, the glorious day when Jesus returns to the earth, it'll all be worth it. Can someone say hallelujah? That sounded like I practiced, so good. We don't usually think of suffering as good for us, but it can build our character, our patience, and even our joy. We may be shaken for a season. I'm thinking of the story of our cat that we just recently lost, and we just had him about just a year, and thinking about after we lost him, you know, you kind of don't think about things when you have your animals and you take care of them, whether you're an animal lover or not. But when they're gone, you think, well, man, they really meant a lot to me. And when we lost him, I just felt that God had taught us to have an unconditional love for those that are around us. Ryan and I, we talked about it. Even though he was only with us for a season, that's what God showed us in giving him to us. I think about the days after at our home where we were so sad and we were so brokenhearted. I've never known the Lord like I do at this point in my life. So a couple days after he was gone, I was sitting in the garage and a hummingbird flew in because the door was open, and I haven't seen a hummingbird all year. I haven't seen one in 2 years, 3 years. And it flew in and Ryan came out in the garage and I said, "Ryan, look, you know, a hummingbird." And amidst all my sadness, in that moment, I was reminded of God's glory. And no matter what happens, that's what the ultimate goal is. It's for God to be given glory through any situation. It reminded me to look up. Keep looking up. Keep going. Keep using the time that God's given me on the earth to do what he's called me to. I'm so thankful to have the Bible as my ultimate resource for growing in God. It has everything you and I will ever need. And I'm thankful for the faithful men and women who have gone before us, for the example of their lives that delighted in having close fellowship with him. Point number three, don't grow weary in doing good. We've all heard this before, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. It says that in Galatians chapter 6. So don't get tired of doing good. Don't give up. Do good to everyone. In Psalms 29:11, it says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace, as Ryan was talking about peace. A lot of the times we may find ourselves saying, why me, God? Why did you bring this to me? Why are you putting me in charge of this? You know, this is totally out of my comfort zone. Instead, we need to embrace it. As hard as it may feel or as nerve-wracking or fearful as it may seem, we need to embrace it, knowing and trusting that God is in charge. He brought it to us, so he's going to bring us through it, right? He's going to guide our path. I think of our garden. Got the picture up there? So I planted a garden this year. My mom actually helped me. So that was at the very beginning. And I loved learning the process of gardening, what to plant, how to, and how close, and how it needs to be taken care of. But it's not like, okay, it's planted. It's all good, right? It's all good to go. You don't have to worry about anything else. And I wrote "ha" in big letters in my paper because it's only the beginning. You have to water it, weed it, spray it, harvest, right? Anything worth having takes effort every single day. As I wait on the fruit, I must continue to do the work. We got some fruit up there. Yeah, so that's a big head of cauliflower that I picked out of the garden, and those are some cherry tomatoes, which now I have hundreds and hundreds growing. So that's the fruit, and when you see that, I just get so excited, like, it actually worked. It actually worked, right? So I looked up the definition of persevere. It means enduring hardships with patience and having steadfastness. 1 Peter 1, 6-7 says, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It isn't always going to be fun, and it isn't always going to be easy. The Christian life was never promised to be an easy way to live. Instead, Paul constantly reminds us that we must have a purpose and plan because times will be difficult and Satan is coming to attack. But we never persevere without the promise of a prize, a promise God will keep. Our goal should be to remain obedient and faithful to Christ through every situation, for our suffering on the earth is only temporary. We have such a greater inheritance waiting for us in heaven. We must have a yes, God attitude, even when we don't understand it all, even when we can't see the full picture. Don't let discouragement take hold of you. And the last point, point number four, it's so worth it. Tell your neighbor, it's so worth it. So athletic contests were a popular thing in New Testament times, so it would make sense for the writer of Hebrews to relate the Christian life to a race. As did Paul when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9, 24-25, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. We're not running for a temporary crown. We're running for an eternal one. Acts 20:24 says, this is Paul speaking, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Pain and struggle may have marked Paul's life, but God's abounding grace sustained him in every morning, in every moment. That's what Paul wanted to be known for. That's what I want to be known for, having God's grace. I don't want to leave anything undone. I want to complete the race and cross that finish line. God has something in mind for us that will be more than we can imagine. God's about to open a door that you didn't see coming. Keep going. Keep running the race. I got a video that I'd like to show for you quick. Thank you.
I am a runner.
I'm a runner.
I'm a runner.
I am a runner.
I am a runner.
I am a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
I'm a disciple.
I don't run for an idea.
I don't run for a religion.
I run with no ordinary person.
I run in the steps of one man.
One man who wasn't afraid.
He spoke in truth and grace.
He stood up and took on sin face to face.
There is no one else like him.
He made the heavens with his breath.
He brought redemption with his death.
He came to save the wayward world of sin.
Father.
A savior.
My God.
My God.
My friend.
The blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead live again.
He has every right, but does not condemn.
He came to give
freedom from darkness.
Heart to the heartless.
Love to the loveless.
Courage that starts with
faith in him who will never fail.
That's the one I run with.
That's the one I run with.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
He called my name.
He told me to take up my cross and go tell the story.
To love and to serve and to speak it boldly.
So I will run with him.
Some may laugh, others may judge.
My flesh may cry out, but I will not give in to this selfish urge.
To live for someone that stared death in the face.
Only to rise in victory from the grave.
He is for me. Who could ever stand against me?
So, with trembling hands, I no longer sit on the fence.
Lip service is not enough.
I won't just sit in a pew.
I won't bite my tongue.
But for him and through him, I will run.
He has marked out a race. From the start to the finish, I will seek his face.
I will live and I will love like Jesus.
I will live and I will love like Jesus by the power and with the Spirit he has given me.
I will give up what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose.
So I will run with him.
I will run with him.
I will run with him.
I'll run with him.
I will run with him.
I will run with him.
I will run with him.
Will you?
Amen? Yeah, amen. I love that. I'll finish up with this. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So what am I going to do while I wait? I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to make the most of every opportunity given to me. I'm going to say yes when he calls me. And I'm going to proclaim his goodness and show his love to those around me. Thank you, Lord, for what you've started in my life. And thank you that you'll finish it. Thank you that what you've promised is on the way. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here in the house tonight. Thank you for what you're working in this house. Thank you for speaking to us your words, Lord. I pray that it greatly touched each one that's here. I thank you for what you have ahead for us, the doors that you're opening, Lord. Thank you for helping us to run the race for you, bringing those with us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Beautiful. Come on, can we put our hands together tonight? Oh, come on, let's do it like we really mean it tonight. Where's my woohoo crowd? Awesome. Just incredible, Sam. Thank you so much for diligently sharing God's word tonight and imparting that to all of us, those that are watching at home. We love you and thank God so much for you. Let's run the race. It's not always fun. It's not always easy. And sometimes you get no accolades for doing it. But he's watching. And he'll always be there to cheer you on. When the world is silent around you, I've done this a little while now, and I have found out that there are seasons that we will all go through. There's no way around it. But if you'll stay consistent and you'll keep on moving in that direction, God will release something over your life in an incredible way. Patty and I were talking about it earlier tonight when we were getting ready to come. I just paused in the bedroom and I said, honey, God has been so good to us. That doesn't mean that we haven't had hardship or haven't gone through difficulty. We have. But even in the middle of the difficulty, he's been very good to us. How many here tonight, you could just say, God has been good to me. Come on. He's been good to me. I want to pray for you tonight. And I actually, Sam, I want you to come up here. And tonight, I think we need to have some pajamas and Jesus people up here with you. I want Amy to come up. So Sam and Amy, come on up. Stand in the middle here. Tonight, before you leave, if you need prayer tonight, I want these to get a little closer together. Beautiful. These ladies are going to be here to pray for you tonight. Let's close our eyes and bow our head. Father, I thank you so much for your grace tonight. Thank you for your servant. Lord, so many things that Samantha does here that many people don't even see or know about, but you do. And Lord, we thank you that you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I pray blessing on your people tonight. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be their strength. Lord, I pray great favor on each one tonight. Lord, thank you for your word tonight to lift our lives and our hearts up. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Come on, and everybody said amen tonight. Hey, don't forget, not this Sunday, but a week from this Sunday, there's some of these cards in the back. And I'm hoping there's going to be maybe one or two ushers up there that will put one of these in your hands. Invite somebody to church. You can start this week, but on the 19th, it's back to church Sunday. We had these cards made up real easy for you to do that. I love you. Love those of you who are watching online at home as well. Go in his grace tonight. If you need prayer, come on down. Let these ladies pray over you tonight. God bless you.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in to those around me. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. It is a firm foundation.
darkest night, you can light it up. You can light it up. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. You've already won. Oh God of revival. Sing that with me. Let darkest night, you can light it up, you can light it up, oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome, you've already won, oh God of revival, the darkest night.